In their little farmhouse, Galen held his wife's bare ass, balanced on the edge of a table he'd made himself. She held his shoulder and the back of his head, her pupils wide, hips trembling against him with the aftershocks of their lovemaking. She dug her fingernails into his shoulder painfully, playfully. "You know Allie could be home any minute." But her eyes were shining, and she didn't uncross her ankles from behind his butt, didn't push him away. There's worse things than a girl finding out her father still finds her mother irresistible. She grinned and squeezed him with her thighs. "Your smile is a century of solace," he told her, trying to lock her face in his memory. She was beautiful, hair a tumble, face flushed with sex and joy, content and content with him. It was a treasure. She would grow old, die, and he would remain, young, immortal, following the directives of a long-dead king, a long-dead friend. "Flattery already got you everything you're going to get," she said. He laughed and pinched her ass. She swatted his hand, eyes aglow. "Why is all our happiness doomed?" he asked her. She looked into his eyes, loving, gentle. "You are a cipher, my lord." "No, I was Samon's cipher 6 lives ago, he said, winking, trying to salvage the moment. "Mother!" A girl's voice called out, right outside the door to their little cottage. Galen pulled back, hiked his trousers up, yanked his belt tight, and slapped at his hair, trying to flatten it. Serene hopped off the table, smoothing her skirts, grabbing a rag so she could pretend to be cleaning. The door opened, and Alinea stepped in, carrying a basket of fresh-picked herbs in one hand and the day's eggs in the other. If she'd been much older, he and Serene would have been totally caught. The smell in the cottage wasn't exactly subtle, and neither was the sex flush visible on Serene's chest or the stubble burn from his whiskers in the bit of cleavage her dress showed. But Alinea was 8 years old. Innocent. She was the light of Galen's eyes.
"Da," she said, serious, cocking her head to one side. "I've decided I'm old enough now for a little brother."
Galen looked over at Serene. She was beaming. She put her hand on her belly.
"This? This is how you tell me?" he demanded.
She laughed. By all the gods that were and all the gods that had never been, how he missed Serene's laugh. The pleasures rolled over Galen and passed, leaving him cold. Guinevere was astride him, clad only in those delicate golden chains. She stopped once he finished, not having climaxed herself. This was business for her, after all, not pleasure. But she didn't get off him. She stared at him, her hair tousled, figure magnificent, letting him bask in her radiance, letting him store up the image of a woman of her supernal beauty, making love with him. She leaned over him, and something like pity flashed through her eyes. "You are a god clad in flesh, Galen Starfire, and you're more fragile than you know. Beware." She lay on his chest and tucked her head into his shoulder, but just for a moment. The room was cool, and he was warm. Maybe she was just appreciating that physical warmth and nothing more. She got up almost immediately. She began dressing, and he knew with a cynical twinge that she must have practiced dressing like this in a looking-glass, because every move was graceful. She wasn't just a whore. She was an artist, and this last impression he would carry of her was as important to her as the first. "I want to fuck again," he said. "Now." This time he wouldn't think of Serene. Guinevere was a wonder. He should appreciate her. He should please her. "So do I. But I've 3 other men to bed before dawn. A 4th, if he's kind."
"Was I your first..." he cut off.
Ridiculous question. He couldn't believe he'd asked it. He didn't know where it had come from.
"Yes, Galen. I was a virgin until just now," she said flatly.
I meant of the night, he said in a rush, flustered. Never you mind. Stupid question.
She looked at him, hesitated. You're magnificent. Distracted, but magnificent. Let's fuck tomorrow, after I finish dinner with the ambassador. Then you can tell me if you accept my business proposal.
Proposal? She hadn't even asked for anything yet.
A few minutes later, Galen pushed through a fog of riot weed, through which he saw the vague outlines of the debauched. Silent servants, costumed uniformly as black horses with blinkered eyes, tended to those who'd overindulged, carrying off those who were ill, tucking pillows under the heads of the unconscious, and covering nude bodies with blankets. The Earl's wife, now wearing nothing but her swan mask and one silk stocking, ran toward Galen squealing, pursued by two lascivious lords whose masks had fallen off. Before she could run into him, or look to him for protection that she really didn't want, Galen ducked into a noisy side room. Musicians were sitting behind an opaque curtain, muscling out a bastardized version of Haranese tribal beat. Two older lords, smoking ornate bowls of riot weed, were watching a third lord as he danced with a woman. Guinevere, the big ape, had his fist wrapped around Guinevere's slender neck. She ground into him, sinuously, her back to him, running her hands down his hips. She saw Galen, missed one beat, and then continued dancing, as she took fistfuls of the young lord's trousers and pulled him tight against her ass. She didn't look away. Galen did. He ducked out into the party, and then out into the night. He was followed.